I will be reading Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it.
Good morning. Today I want to share with you an idea that was born in 1940, an idea that I really think will help us to learn how to manage life, as well as an idea that, a rule, if you will, that we can apply in life to make things better. Okay? The nation was recovering in 1940 from the 30s, the dirty 30s, as they're often referred to, Dust Bowl, Great Depression. You remember, Keith. Preparing for war. America looked and was very different at that time. 1942, downtown Lincoln, Nebraska. Cars looked very different. Found a couple of these old pictures from Lincoln, Nebraska, and these are places I've actually been, so they intrigue me. But also, in 1940, America was characterized by a lot of poverty, and scenes like this were very common throughout America's history at this time, dating back, I don't know how far, but certainly through the 30s, the Great Depression and such, and continuing into the 40s as commodities are being handed out there. This is the Jack Winery family, a hard-working family, homesteaders in Pytown, New Mexico area. And this picture was taken inside of their home. And this is their home, a dugout. I was surprised at going back and researching some of this time and thinking about people living in homes like this at that time. But they were very proud people, very hardworking people. And they had to work for everything. And look at the pride that they took in their simple home, this dugout, as these beautiful flowers that the little girl was tending there outside their dugout. This is Pharaoh and Doris Caudill, also in 1940 in Pytown, New Mexico. Again, just the face of American pride at that time, but boy, life was tough. It was really, really tough at this time. And this is a picture of them enjoying an evening meal in their dugout at this time. And, you know, it looks like they're eating pretty good. But the point that I want to make here simply is how hard life was for them. They worked for everything, and I'm sure they were proud people. But at this time, I think in America, as the war came upon us, and through that war, things changed for America. And one of the things that was changing and was taking place was also the idea of creating convenience, if you will, making life easier. What can we do to make life easier? And one of those things that was born in 1940, or born in this idea of trying to make things easier, was this. Now, these are actually ad campaigns in 1964 and 1967. And I don't know how well you can see this here, but anybody recognize these bottles? Do you remember one a day? How many of you took one-a-day vitamins? Well, one-a-day vitamins were born in 1940, and you can still get them, you know. In fact, Bayer owns one-a-day now, and there's about 18 different varieties of one-a-day vitamins, and these are the ones that you and I need to take, Keith, the men's formula, right here. You can even get them in chewables still, which is pretty cool, I think. But these were cheaper, so I got those. But it was that idea that you could take something just once a day and it would be better. It would be easier. And that's really what I see this whole campaign of one a day being born out of. And so as I thought about that, I really thought this has a lot of application for us. This idea of one a day. So that's what we're going to be talking about. This idea of one a day. And I really think that it can change our lives. Here's some notable quotes in regards to this idea of one a day. Charles Schulz, who, what do we know him for? Peanuts. Yeah, the cartoonist. And he says, I have a new philosophy. I'm only going to dread one day at a time. You know, and that's kind of humorous when we think about it, but think about how your life might change if you took that attitude upon your in your own thinking. I'm only going to dread one day at a time. Maybe a little more profound there from Abraham Lincoln. The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. Another notable quote in the theme of today's lesson comes from Ida Scott Taylor. Now, in my research, when I first heard this name, Ida Scott Taylor, it was vaguely familiar to me, but I really didn't know who it was. And so in my research, I learned that this is a pseudonym for Francis Crosby. How many of you know who Francis Crosby is? And I've shared about her before in lessons. Well, in the hymnals in front of you there, she has 19 hymns in that book. That's what we know Frances Crosby for. But she also was quoted a lot back in her day, and this is one of the things she said that was worth sharing today. One day at a time, that is enough. Do not look back and grieve over the past, for it is gone, and do not be troubled about the future, for it has not yet come. Live in the present and make it so beautiful that it will be worth remembering. And I think that's a quote worth remembering as well. One day at a time, this is enough. You know, think about how often we get frustrated or upset. And when we take a moment to think about that, it's about yesterday. Or maybe it's about tomorrow. We fret and we worry about our past, and we fret and we worry about our future. And in so doing, no wonder we feel so overwhelmed. The problems that you don't know, there are problems that we don't know how to handle, or even where to begin to address them in our lives, and we allow these things to consume us. All these situations have a cumulative effect in our lives. And we most often recognize it as stress. So what can we do about it? Is there a way to make life more manageable, especially the things that seem to be spiraling out of control? And I really believe there is, and it comes to that theme today of one a day. So when we're feeling overloaded, we need to realize that one of the problems is that we're probably trying to deal with too much. So we need to learn how to sort things out in life so we're not dealing with too much, but that we can identify those things that we do need to address and deal with in our lives and go on with. One of the things that so often happens, and it's too often true in my life, when I get to those situations where I feel overwhelmed and I don't know where to go, I don't know where to begin, sometimes I just shut down and I don't do anything. You ever find yourself in those circumstances making exactly that decision and you spend a day and you just don't do anything about it, and you wake up and you feel just as frustrated or maybe even more the next day? Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one that's guilty of that. But I have some things I'd like to share with us today to try to do something about it. Now, life If life was like a basket. I was going to bring today this really cool basket that Kathy has. It came from Africa. It was a precious gift. And if you see my daughter already shaking her head, she knows her daddy made a good choice not to bring that basket. And so my basket has become a box today, okay? So just change basket for a box. And the point that I want to make about this is that we carry around some amazing loads in our life. And that's what this box represents. The load of stuff that we carry around in life. And I want to visit with us this morning about how do we make this box of stuff, this basket of stuff, this load of stuff, whatever you want to call it that we carry around. How can we make it lighter? And to understand that, we need to realize that there are, we're going to talk about the bricks that are in here, because those are heavy, okay? And we have different types of bricks in this load that we carry around. And there they are up there. The past, the future, and today. And so we need to think about, well, what is it that we can do about these things? And how can we manage these things? And one of the things that we need to understand is that, well, let me just ask you this question. Can any of you change the past? There you go. Right to the point. No, we can't. But one of the ways to think about the past in a healthy way, rather than carrying it around in our already heavy box, is to realize that the past is like a seminar that you went to. You can learn some things from your past. You can learn from the mistakes that you've made in your past. And hopefully what you learn is how not to repeat those mistakes. But I would venture to say, too, that just like me, you have also had some success in your past. And so we want to learn how to replicate those things in our life. So one of the things that we need to do, one of the things we need to realize, is that when we look into our box, we need to identify these bricks. And these are dirty bricks. And we just need to take those bricks out that represent the past, and we just need to get rid of them. I mean, that's what we need to do. We want to make our load lighter. So stop carrying around the things in your life, in your box, in your basket, your load of stuff that you can't do anything about. And the past is one of them. Again, we can learn from our past, great, but we don't have to carry it around in order for that to happen. Another brick in there that we talk about is the future. Now, I don't want to give the impression that we shouldn't ever be looking to the future, that we shouldn't be planning for the future. But Jesus said something about the future. What did he say about it? Don't worry. Okay, I thought some of you had read the Bible before. Yeah, don't worry about the future. So you got to, well, that's a dirty one there. Remember what Ron told us about the future today? It's going to burn up. Even those bricks will burn in the last bonfire, as Kathy's mother used to like to recall it. But you got to take those bricks out too and lighten up your load, because there just isn't a lot that you can do about that, and worrying about it's not going to do any good at all. Then what we need to do is to realize that some of these bricks in here, and I'm going to get my gloves back on, some of these bricks in here are what we would refer to or represent today. And today can be divided into two categories. And let's just put those up there. Today can be divided into two categories. There are some things today that I don't have any control over. You know, I don't know what an example off the top of my head might be of that, but thinking about to the past, let me remind you of this. In the 1st of July is the anniversary of when the Hamsters moved to Iowa. Some people celebrate that, some people just stay home. I'm not sure where you are on that, but that's all right. But the 1st of July, you will have known me for 5 years. And in those 5 years, I have worked for 3 different school districts. Some people might say, Rudy, you have a problem keeping a job. Some people might say that. But you know the story. I was the product of a budget cut in 2 different school districts. And that meant one day I got a call to come into my superintendent's office and got one of those little slips that says, you are no longer employed with us. On that day, that was this brick. And my point is this. Yeah, I wanted to throw it at him, but the point is, I couldn't do anything about it. So I take the brick out of my box, my load, and I just set it aside because there wasn't anything I could do about it. It was a budget decision. It was a decision that was made. I had no control over it. But on that same day, when I looked into my box, there was this other brick. And this was the the dirty brick, too. Kathy ought to clean her bricks. This is the brick up here that I could have impact on. In other words, I could do something with this brick. This brick represented getting my resume updated. This brick represented getting registered on Iowa REAP, which is a place where educators go to find work in the state of Iowa. And this was the brick that represented calling people that I knew in other districts to make connections and network to find another job. And so this is the brick that I picked up and focused on and found that job in Keokuk. Now, that meant we had some tough decisions to make, too, about driving back and forth and spending a lot of time away from my family. But it's what I needed to do at the time, and it worked out well. That's just an example of today. There are things, as you look at those bricks that are today in your load, there are things that you can impact and you must. And though that's where you put your attention. But on those things that you can't, you take them out and you set them aside and you quit carrying them around. And that's how you make your basket lighter. That's how you make it lighter. And when you do that, life becomes much more manageable. When you talk about and you focus on those things that you can truly address and take care of. You know, I've talked about this a couple of times recently in reference to the Serenity Prayer. And that's really what we're talking about. Being cognizant and being aware of those things that I can truly take care of in life. And not worrying about those things that I can. In fact, you need to let them go. So why worry? So why worry? You know, so often, as already mentioned, we talk about worrying about, for example, the future. But worrying about today is just as fruitless. Or worrying about the past is just as fruitless. Jesus made the point. What can you accomplish? And I'm changing it here a little bit to make the application. It's not exactly what he's saying here, but I think the application is accurate. What good can you do? What can you accomplish by worrying? You know, how's that working out for you? I think this is a good note to take as well. If you're not going to address it, if you're not going to do something with it, if you're not going to take action, then just let it go. Just let it go. Now, this is a pretty bold statement here. We've talked already about how to make that load lighter, and it's about what we're going to focus on. And the bottom line is, focus on what you can do something about, okay? That sums up everything I just said. I know, I should have just said that in the beginning, we'd be done now. But that's not how I work. You know that. The next thing that I want us to do is to realize that there is an application that I think we can make with this one a day idea that goes back to the beginning of our lesson. And I realize that saying "I guarantee," that's a pretty big statement. I can't really guarantee it, but it sounds impressive when somebody guarantees something, doesn't it? Doesn't it have your attention? Well, he guaranteed it. It's got to be right. It's got to be good. It's guaranteed. Well, you're not going to get any certificate that you can bring back to me when it doesn't work, okay? Maybe what I should say is, I really think there is a rule here that we can apply that will make a difference in our lives. And here's what it is. Do one thing every day to improve something, to make it better, to have a positive influence. Now, as soon as I say that about doing it every day, I realize that's an enormous challenge. And I realize simply stating this, we run the risk of oversimplifying it. It is a simple statement. It is a simple logic. But I realize it takes great discipline to do it. But I also believe that within this statement, what I'm challenging us to do is very doable. And with a little discipline to get started, you will generate a great momentum in your life that will motivate you to keep it up. Let's talk about some examples. Get again into the habit of dealing with one day at a time. And think about what it is that you need to improve. For example, you fill in the blank. Because this is really a rule that applies to anything. Your marriage, for example. What one thing can you do today to make your marriage better? As I was applying this rule recently, in the middle of the afternoon, I texted Kathy. I was doing this rule, and I texted her and said, "Love you." Got a message back, "Who's this?" Obviously, I have some work. But you start. Don't worry, Keith, I won't tell on you. It's tempting. Keith did that to me too. I will tell on him. I texted Keith yesterday with a question. He calls back. Hey, who's this? Hey, don't even know your preacher. But think about that. What one thing can you do today? And it might be as simple, but as important, as making sure you tell your spouse that you love them, that you appreciate them, that you care about them. Maybe it's making their favorite meal. Maybe it's picking up their socks. Kathy's throwing her socks everywhere. Not really. Well, yeah, sometimes she does. Because she wears three or four at a time because her feet are always cold. But I digress. And I'm going to say something. You guys are always giving me a bad time for picking on Kathy my sermons. A couple of weeks went by for a while when I wasn't, and she came up to me on the way home. She says, "Are you mad at me?" Because I hadn't been picking on her in the sermon. So just understand that. It's one of the ways that I tell Kathy I love her. I pick on her in the sermons. Think about your any relationships. The relationship with your kids. The relationship with your parents. The relationship with your coworkers. The relationship with your boss. What is something that you can do every day, or at least as often as possible, to make that relationship better? Commit to doing it, and it will make a difference in your life. Just one a day. Every day. Every day, if you'll commit to it, that's it. That's all you have to do. It doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be small. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. And some days, maybe it will take all day. It doesn't matter if it's free or if it costs thousands of dollars. But what is it? Just think about it. What is it that you can do in any of those relationships, in any of those situations, to make it better? We need to understand that there's a lot of psychology behind that. And part of it is, it's us taking the responsibility to make things better in our lives and not waiting on somebody else to do it. It's not about having a pity party, but getting up and realizing that we can make a difference and then doing it. We need to realize that this also applies to our relationship with God. The song that we sang a little bit ago, "Did You Think to Prayer," was a song that came to my mind. How many times do we hit that wall spiritually? Do we hit that wall in regards to our faith? And what do? Usually we just kind of pull the old Eeyore, don't we? Poor, pitiful, pathetic me. Did you think to pray? Did you think to talk to God and open His Word and let Him talk to you? Did you think to call a brother or sister and just say, "Hey, I need to talk"? Or did you think about somebody who might be in need and consider encouraging them or ministering to them? God believes in the idea of today. God believes in the idea of just one a day. Let me share some passages with you and wrap this lesson up. From Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end." From Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Don't get overwhelmed with how you failed Christ in the past. And don't be consumed about the commitment we need to make in the future. What is it you're going to do today to serve your Lord and Savior? Think about the difference that a year would make after doing something every day, just once a day for a whole year. Your world will change dynamically. Consider also Psalm 68 and verse 19. "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." I want you to know God commits to you daily. God is in for you, in it for you every day. He doesn't take a day off. He is always there, always available, and He's doing the hard work. Who daily bears our burdens. From Proverbs chapter 30, beginning at verse 7. "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." Jesus talked about this too, didn't he, when he taught us to pray, Matthew 6:11. "Give us today our daily bread." God, take care of me today. And as we pray that God takes care of us today, can we simply commit to Him today? From Acts 2 and verse 46. "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And back to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. "Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter the rest, and since those who formerly had good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today, This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as the passage already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." God not only believes in this idea of today, but he believes in you. He believes in you. And today he calls you to come home. What can you do? Or maybe more importantly, the question needs to change. What must you do? What must you do today to improve your relationship with God? What must you do today in order to even have a relationship with God? I don't know where you're at, but I need you to assess that. What must you do today to be closer to God? And we end this morning where we began. I want us to read this passage again from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. "See, I set before you today prosperity and death and destruction. For I command you today to love your God, to walk in obedience to Him and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Are you ready to possess heaven? Then today, what must you do? Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?